Have Brother Damon Carlock with us tonight to bring the message. Brother Damon is a member of Mount Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to have him here tonight. I want to ask you to give him your attention, give attention to the word of the Lord, and pray for him as he stands before us this evening. I pray that God will just grant him great liberty to preach his word. So, Brother Damon.
Once again, it's good to be back here tonight. It's been a while. I don't think I've been here, Brother Miller, since you've been here. I was thinking back this afternoon of the different times. I have preached here a couple times, two or three times. I think back Brother Moran was here. And it's just, this place is a special place for me. It's right there by where that Kleenex box is, where the Lord saved my soul. Back when I was 16 years old, and we're having revival, and it was good service. One I soon forget. But I got in trouble that night, and I got in trouble the way I needed to get in trouble. And I found a place and got there and got my heart right with the Lord. I just want to thank the church once again for being here. This place, like I said, is very special to me. I was baptized in this baptistry, saved here, but I've never been a member here, so it doesn't make sense. Mount Lebanon used the baptistry whenever we had several baptized that year, and y'all were nice enough to let us use it, and we appreciate it. This place has always been a special place for me. I've got some scripture I want to read, and as I got up here, you know, the Lord, I've got several notes I've took. I don't know why I got them. I feel like the Lord's changing my direction. That's scary. I'm not that experienced of a preacher, I don't feel like. So y'all bear with me. I may be a little sketchy, maybe a little bit here and there. But I'm going to read this scripture here, and we'll see where it goes. The Lord, y'all pray for me. It's Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, 20 and 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, and I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth not them shall be likened unto the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now that I've said that, I'm going to go another direction now. I do have something I do want to do. Y'all think I'm about half crazy, but that's okay. I've got a couple of friends here who really know I am crazy. I want everyone to look at this. Some of you guys know what it says. Some of you may not. I'm not going to let you look at it for very long. That's all you get. Some of you may know what that meant. It looked like a bunch of gibberish when I first time I saw it. Thought it was Chinese stuff. I'll show it again to you in a few minutes, and it'll make more sense. The reason why I brought that is it's likened to the rock being Jesus. He is our rock. And you know, if he is our rock, then sometimes when you build a house, when you get out there and you build a house, and Brother David's here. He's helped me build some, and he's a good friend of mine. And Brother Ralph has helped. We built an addition on their house. And when you build a house, you build it on a solid rock, if you can. But you pour footers. Well, it's our way of making a solid rock. It's making a good, firm foundation. And that firm foundation is Jesus in our spiritual life. Now, if the rock is Jesus, then if we rely on Him, then we're going to have a good, substantial, spiritual life with the Lord. But there's many times where we slip away from that when we're building that house, and we run across a sinkhole and we build right over that and we let it go. You know, well, the rains come and we didn't do it properly. We didn't follow the Lord properly. We didn't do maybe what the Lord was asking us to do. And what happens to that house? It falls. All this is leading up to Jesus Christ and what he really means to us. Jesus Christ, and if y'all don't know that, this is about Jesus. And this is a big. It's a big subject. you look in the Bible and start looking up that name, boy, and you find a lot of material, and it's a hard one to just grasp because He's everywhere and He's everything and He's everything to us. Amen. He should be. If He's not, then we need to re-examine ourselves. When He saved our soul, you know, He made it everything that time. When He did that, He made it everything. Now, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And also it says Emmanuel. In chapter 2 of Luke. It's in Luke. It explains about Emmanuel being God with us. And God with us came to this earth, came to this earth to be with us in a physical body, such as we are as ourselves, a physical body to live amongst us and be part of us, to be an example. And that's where I'm trying to get at, is be an example. His name is so great that we even worship His name every year, or His birth date every year. It's Christmas. But what have we done to it? It's not what it used to be. We try to take Christ out of Christmas already. And that's scary. But where I'm going with this is what happened to Jesus Christ when He was here. I'm going to go to the end and then back up maybe. Jesus came here for one reason, to give us a way out, to give us a hope. When they crucified Him, in the Matthew 28, you can read it, the chapter 28, 29, I'm sorry, that's the last verse, but chapter 27, 28, it explains it all. All four of the Gospels explain it in different ways, and you can get a really big overview about what happened. And I've read some on the internet, and that'll get you in trouble, but I've read some and enough to know that when they scourged Him, they beat Him with a whip. And the whip had lead balls and bones and different pieces of metal objects that actually they took the flesh off whenever they beat Him on His back. They didn't give Him a chance to get away from it because they tied Him to a post. They scourged Him to the point where he lost enough blood that any normal human being would have died. But God seemed fit that He should not go that die in that way. He should go to the cross to die for our sins. He gave His life on the cross. We need to remember what Christ has done for us and all the suffering He's did for us and how He suffered. the things he went through, the humiliation, the different things that the pain, just the sheer pain of that day was enough to overwhelm anyone. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was taken to this cross to carry. And the cross he could not carry. He carried part of the way. And I've looked on the internet and looked in the Bible, and I can't find out how far he actually did carry it. But it says that the whole distance that the cross was taken was about 650 yards. My guess is around two-thirds of the way to the bypass. Uphill most of the way, I'm sure. The brother Simon came and helped him and carried it the rest of the way. But he, just to walk that far in the shape that he was in, could not have been easy. And then they laid him on the tree and they drove spikes through his hands. Actually, and what I've read, that these spikes weren't sharpened. I don't know if they were or not, but I can't imagine something going through my, I can't imagine even this pen going through my hand. But they weren't even sharpened. If they were dull and were drove through his hand to hold him there on the cross. And he was not stretched out where he was tight. It was like this. And his feet were put on top of one or the other and another spike put through it. Crucifixion is a cruel way to die, and it is the way of suffocation. Because me being in the fire department, I think about things that happen to your body physically, and what happens is the body starts getting cut off from oxygen, and carbon monoxide builds up in your bloodstream, and then you start get delusion, and it's not a good way. You know that something bad's wrong is going on, but slow, painful death it had to have been. I build this up because I want you all to know what, and you've heard this thing, you've heard it from Brother Miller, you've heard it from several preachers, and we all know what the Lord went through, but we have no way to experience. And I pray that none of us will ever, ever, ever have to even see a crucifixion, much less endure one. But God hung on that tree for our sins, to give us a chance, to give us hope. But he also did something else. He gave us an example. Was he angry with those people? What did he say when he was hanging on that tree? Forgive them, they know not what they do. He said, he didn't say anything bad to them. If anything, he had mercy on them. The two thieves beside him, one gave his heart to the Lord. He was in heaven with him that day. Praise God for that. Because it shows how evil person you can be and you still go to heaven. You can still have your heart changed and make it to heaven. So it leaves the door open for everyone, no matter who you are. Back when, now, like I said, I was going to try to back up. While he was here on the earth, he preached and he taught and he healed people and he led the disciples the way he wanted them to go. He did things that were examples. I'm still going on this trip with me. Y'all stay with me if you can. He went to the temple and he was denounced at the temple for teaching. They didn't like him because he was there. They didn't like the things he said. This young man teaching things that they couldn't handle. They didn't know how to accept him. Now is not our world the same? In a sense, maybe not nearly as bad. We don't have to endure what he had to endure, but this world doesn't want to accept those things. This world does not want to hear what we have to say, dude. They don't want to hear about the Christ dying on the cross. They want to hear good things, and these are not good things. He kept us from a devil's hell. Thank God for that, because hell's a real place. Hell is fire. It's burning. Even now, there are thousands of unanswered prayers going up in hell. My good friend David and I work firefighters together, and as being a firefighter, we've crawled into buildings and crawled right, almost literally into the fire. Literally into the fire. Not even know you're there. And the smoke and the everything's so dark you can't see anything. I liken that into what hell might be. But we have air masks on. We don't have to worry about breathing the hot gases. And if we go in there and really work hard, we usually, in about 10 or 15, 20 minutes, we get a break. Stop and think about those people in hell. They're not going to get a break. We get to go out and get a drink of water and take a rest. Maybe have to go back in for a little while, but there's going to be no break for them. Jesus came for that reason. I wanted to touch base on that because that's the single reason the Lord came, is to save this world from our sins that we are so deeply in. As Jesus taught, he like I said, he gave the ultimate example. He gave everyone things that we could grasp hold of, and we have the Bible to show us. Through the New Testament is just chock full of information of what he did for us. Now, us being as Christians, we have we're claiming to be Christ-like. And that's pretty close to the definition. I've looked it up, and there's a few other ones that are close to that. But if we're Christ-like, then what about all these things that the Lord has done? What about all these things that He has given us examples of? Are we, as preachers, are we going out and preaching the word every chance we can? Are we setting the example whenever we go to our day-to-day lives? Are we giving everyone a chance? Are we giving them as much chance as the Lord gave us? We're not even coming close. I speak for myself because I cannot speak for you, but the Lord's put this on my heart, and I think I need to say it. We don't need to have ourselves puffed up or ourselves in a grand way. We need to be humble. What was Christ? He was humble and obedient. He was diligent in what he had to do. Are we being diligent? Are we striving every day to reach some lost soul? There's a world. I bet since I've been standing up there, I bet there's been 100 cars go down the cemetery road, and I bet there's a lot of them that's not saved. I wish some of them would stop in here. I pray that we can, each and every one of us, go in our day-to-day lives. We all have jobs, most of us, and we have people we can come in contact with. We have people we can talk to. Just the smallest of words. I likened Brother Ralph. I can never forget when Brother Ralph got saved, at least when he went to the altar, and one of you sisters may be the ones that came and touched him on his back. But we don't know how small of a thing just touching someone on the back might be. Because when whoever that sister was that touched Brother Ralph on his back, it broke him down. It brought him to the point where he knew he had to seek the Lord. So what is that small thing? What is that small thing that you can do this week? I'm not asking, I'm not giving you homework, but let's see if we can't get out there Let's touch someone this week. Let's call someone. Let's make an effort to help some lost soul. Or someone that's backslidden. We know there's people in our church, and I'm sure there are in this one, that are not coming like you'd like for them to. Maybe a phone call at the right time. Maybe a meeting for lunch or something. Just in a word, one small word might be the word. I kind of got off what I was wanting to speak about. I would like to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Y'all bear with me. I just feel like I'm letting the Lord down tonight, but in the same token, I feel like I'm just trying to let Him lead me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's exactly what I was just trying to say. Lord knows, when He hung on that cross, He knew every one of y'all's infirmities right now. Every one of your needs. He knows what I need this moment, this hour. He knows every health problem every one of you have. He knows the hairs on your head. He is that knowledgeable. I have another scripture that says He is all powerful. When he was after He was crucified and was before He ascended, he it says in Matthew, I believe it is, I'm not sure, that He has all power. God, the Heavenly Father gave it to Him when He came to this earth, and we should. What can we do? What little can we do back? What little can we help Him? In what way? He knows every infirmity, every problem we have. And when He hung on that cross, He died for that. He knew who would be here tonight. He knew what your problems are, whether they're financial, whether they're health, or whether they're whatever. And He wants you to take them to Him. Because he's sitting on the right hand of God, waiting for you. Just waiting. He wants to hear it. He's wanting to hear it. He's got plenty of ears. He can hear every one of us all at one time. And it doesn't matter if there's 500 more people right down the street doing the same thing. Isn't that great? Isn't that something else? I can't imagine. He's beyond us. He is beyond a living human being because He came here just to be humbled down to where we are. I can't fathom it. It's hard for me to grasp. But praise God He did. He died for us. He lived for us. He taught us. He gave us every example. Everything. There's no excuse for us. His teaching gave us the way to go. He healed the sick, and I don't know. I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, if I can find it. 1-5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mine. Let us each esteem each other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Jesus Christ. That's what his mind was. He didn't think about himself. He was always thinking about someone else, always wanting to help someone else. And on down to verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do good of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked, perverse nation. And were we living in a crooked and perverse nation? We've got to be that lighthouse right here on Cemetery Road. We've got to be that lighthouse out on Mount Lebanon Road. This is a crooked and perverse nation. We went way down the wrong road. In the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And I recall reading some scripture about Christ being the light of the world, and his church should be the same. So let's be the light of the world. Now, do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus now? Hope I got it. Got upside down probably. Jesus. Sometimes he's not so plain, is he? Sometimes he's not so plain. That's on the front of my truck. And I get a lot of looks. People really look at that a lot. And I got to sitting there the other night in the garage, and I got to looking at that, and I thought, there's my subject right there. And sure enough, that's what the Lord wanted me to preach on. I can't explain to you all how important this world is that we go out and try to reach some lost soul. That's what Christ did. He was trying to reach every lost soul, anyone he could reach. He healed several. The lady with the issue of blood. Was Zacchaeus in the tree? You know, it's just, there's many, many different examples of where Christ helped someone. Is that not the example he set for us? Can we help someone? So let's go out this week. I guess it is homework. Homework this week. Brother Miller, we're homework. Before we come back on Wednesday, see if you can't talk to someone about their soul. At least talk to them about something, about church, about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. That's the most important. That's the most important thing. Let's put aside everything, every indifferent. Don't think about yourself. That's what the scripture said. Don't think about yourself. Don't think about what you can. You will be, or what you can do. Think about what Christ can do for them through you, because you are an instrument. You're that, I've heard them put it, you're the fork that puts the food in the mouth. So let's be that fork. Brother Miller, that's all I have, and I pray that y'all will pray for me. I just feel like I let the Lord down tonight, and I just feel like I just stumbled through all this, but I got my point across, I hope. Jesus is all important. Brother Miller.
Appreciate the message tonight. Thank Brother Damon for being here. I want us to, if Brother Strode would get a song ready here in just a minute, I want us to have a song and shake hands with Brother Damon. But there was something that one of the statements he made in his sermon really struck me tonight. We can't really imagine it, the power and the ability of the Lord. And that was what Brother Damon told us about the Lord hearing our prayers. Tonight, there's what, 40 of us here, something like that. I remember for a number of years, I worked a job where I would, oftentimes throughout the course of the day, I would have somebody standing in front of me, a customer standing in front of me talking to me. They would be, the receptionist would be on the PA saying, Jerry Miller, line 2, Jerry Miller, line 4, Jerry Miller, line 6. I'd have 3 or 4 phone calls coming in at once, and by the end of the day, my mind was zapped. I mean, I was just worn out. And I thought about that tonight when Brother Damon said what he did, that the Lord could sit in heaven and hear the whole earth pray if we all prayed at the same time, and he could discern every individual thing that we ask him. I mean, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? But he could sure do it. And tonight, when we prayed up here collectively, the Lord heard us, everyone, individually. And he's able to discern everything that we ask of him. And that's awesome. That's an awesome thought to me. I appreciate the message tonight. Let's stand. Brother Damon, if you would, come out front. And let's come and shake hands with Brother Damon and let him know that we appreciate him being here tonight. And let's pray for his ministry.